So why is this movie such a big divide among fans? Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi is next.
We are the spark that'll light the fire that'll burn the First Order down.
Me my place in all this.
This is Fantasy Picks Movie Edition, the podcast that takes a look at overhyped big budget tentpole movies that failed at the box office or with critics, and on some occasions they succeeded with both fans and the box office, but not hardcore fans like us. So I'm your host, Robert Moden. Joining me today, I got Frank Rodriguez, Mark Kirkman, and welcoming back from a long ass hiatus, Zach Book.
How's it going? Hello.
How's everything going, guys?
Good.
Good.
So I literally just got off of Zoom. So.
Oh damn.
Get off Zoom and get back on Zoom.
This is going to be the big episode. I say, the big episode, because I think the reason for the reason I came up with this podcast was because of this one movie that I said one day I'm going to cover this movie, and I am just not going to be friendly to it.
I don't think anybody was friendly to it.
But that being said, so today we're covering actually Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. I don't know what to say about this movie. I mean, it's kind of crazy, I would say. But you know what? Before we get started on that, why don't we do this? Because, you know, before we get to that, we have to know where it came from. The original trilogy, the franchise that began with Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, which was retitled, you know, from just Star Wars, that was directed by George Lucas and released in 1977. So introduce audiences to the epic space opera set in a galaxy far, far away, guys. Featuring iconic characters. Look, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Darth Vader. Those characters, I think, are always going to be ingrained in pop culture forever, right? So the film's massive success led to two sequels, The Empire Strikes Back, which is probably considered the best out of all Star Wars movies, and then Return of the Jedi to complete that original trilogy. Then,
Muppets.
Yeah, and that went from 1977 to 1983. Then we got the prequel trilogies that started in 1999. So from 1983 to 1999, big gap there, of course. And that also went from 1999 to 2005. So after a significant gap, George Lucas returned to the franchise to tell the backstory of the original trilogy. The prequel trilogy consisted of The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. It explored the rise of Darth Vader, the fall of the Galactic Republic, and the emergence of the Galactic Empire. And then we get to the sequels. Right. So from the sequels from 2005 to 2015, a 10-year gap, George Lucas sells his, you know, his franchise to Disney and decides that he's had enough, I guess, with it. And he trusted Disney to, you know, to take the reins and try to do something with it, and made a pretty penny out of it. I think Disney paid $5 billion for it or something like that. George Lucas had his own treatment for the sequels, which, of course, I think he always said he was led to believe that Disney was going to use that treatment and they threw that shit out the window and they did their own. So J.J. Abrams,
psych.
Yeah. So when Disney acquired Lucasfilm in 2012 and announced the production of the new sequels and a new trilogy, it began with Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, which, as everybody knows, very successful. People liked it. It had a good reviews from everybody. And then came The Last Jedi, which is what we're talking today. And that I'm not even going to mention, right, you know, what happened there. But that's directed by Rian Johnson. And then The Rise of Skywalker was what actually completed the whole thing in 2017. And then, of course, we have some anthology films and spinoffs. You know, Rogue One. We had Solo, the Star Wars story, which was the last time Lucasfilm actually made an actual film to come out in the theaters. After that, everything went to Disney Plus, and as we all know, the disaster that has been. So I'm gonna kind of kick it off to some of you guys before, you know, but when you saw let's start with this. When you saw Force Awakens, what did you guys think about that?
I feel like it was good if you like nostalgia.
Okay.
Because realistically, it's just Star Wars all over again.
No, you're right. You're absolutely fucking right.
It's literally A New Hope over again.
Exactly.
Instead of a Death Star, you have a planet that's been Starkiller Base Station, which is literally basically a Death Star. It's a planet converted.
And let me tell you, that actually had a lot of criticisms. I was like, oh, it's just New Hope again. You know, I always said,
if it worked before, it'll work again.
No, what I've always actually said is the worst Star Wars critics are Star Wars fans.
That is true.
The people who hate Star Wars are the Star Wars fans. And I've always said that because J.J. Abrams gave us what we wanted, which is, hey, you know, at least something familiar to the original ones, something that's going to kind of get us excited about the whole thing. It continued part of the Skywalker saga. You know, there was Luke Skywalker was missing, which, you know, until the.
He was there towards the end.
Yeah.
You
know, 30 seconds. They mentioned him in the beginning and then they saw,
saw a glimpse of him at the very end. 30 seconds in the end. But that being said, you know, then all of a sudden we get The Last Jedi. And so The Last Jedi was directed and written by Rian Johnson. Right. Produced by Kathleen Kennedy. Executive producers was supposed to be J.J. Abrams also. But I have a feeling that they just put that title in there because after we start talking, I doubt that he had a lot to do with this movie. So for anybody out there who forgot what The Last Jedi was about, so it continues the saga as the resistance led by General Leia Organa struggles against the relentless First Order. And Rey seeks guidance from the reclusive Luke Skywalker, who she finds him at the very end of Force Awakens. And he's reluctant to return to the fight. Meanwhile, Kylo Ren grapples with his conflicted emotions and seeks to prove himself as the new Supreme Leader under the enigmatic Snoke. And then after that, all hell breaks loose and, you know, and... It's even hard for me to continue with this thing. So if you haven't seen it out there, guys, listen to our review and then you be the judge of it. But of course, you know, the cast on this, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley as Rey, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis as, you know, Supreme Leader Snoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have Benicio del Toro also in there. You had Laura Dern. So you had a few people out there. I'm going to ask you guys, what's your opinion on this movie compared to Force Awakens? I'll start with you, Zach.
All right. So
Zach is dying to blow up.
Let him do it.
So Force Awakens was a really safe move. It was, as you guys mentioned, it was a rehashing of A New Hope. It was the same formula with new characters. And by and large, I enjoyed it in the theater. You know, I enjoyed it in the theater. I was so ridiculously anticipated. You know, I was sweating. I was ready to watch this first Star Wars movie that I'd seen. this brand new content from Star Wars, and I was super stoked about it. And so even leaving it, we'll call it the sins of Force Awakens, were forgiven. You know, they were okay, you know, it's the first movie, you know, they played it a little safe, we'll see what happens. You know, obviously I come from a place where I have preconceived notions about what the expanded universe of Star Wars was and like what happened after Return of the Jedi, and so like I was a little confused at the whole First Order thing, and the Resistance rather than the New Republic, and it's like there's all these things where I felt like we jumped ahead, and of course we did, we jumped ahead, you know, 30 years I think it is, right. and really kind of zoomed forward. So after Force Awakens, what we got with Last Jedi was a departure, and even though it was, you know, this whole new world and the same characters, literally in the first scenes of this new movie, they take this anticipated huge hype up, oh my god, we got to Luke Skywalker, holy shit, Rey's about to learn how to be a Jedi, and he's like, no, fuck you, and throws her lightsaber, his father's lightsaber. And like right there, it just snaps you out of like, what the fuck? Like, and so to me, you know, there's a lot of themes and a lot of what ifs and a lot of things that obviously we'll talk about with this movie, but it's like that nostalgia and the feeling of the Force and the character recognition, you know, seeing Chewie and Han and everybody in action, and all these different things. It was really cool, you know, it was really cool to relive that. And immediately with this film, and you can tell that they're, you know, they're made and created by different people, and that they completely snap you like, no, I don't want to do that. And then that it immediately locks into a different path. So that's a little long winded, but that I think sets the scene for what we're about to talk about.
No, you're right. I mean, as I watched this movie again, when I saw that first scene, I remember the moment when I was sitting there and I'm like, yo, it's finally Luke Skywalker. And then I thought, okay, for a brief second, I thought, you know what? Maybe it was genius not to have him in the first movie, because now we're going to get to see Luke Skywalker as we always thought he was going to be.
Well, and definitely would have stole the thunder for right. sure.
And then all of a sudden for him to like, and he didn't just throw the lightsaber away. He threw it over his shoulder like if we were throwing away, I don't know, a piece of garbage and we had disregard for any litter laws.
Dirty sock.
A dirty sock.
Maybe he was throwing salt over his shoulder for good luck.
Yeah, okay.
Which Ryan Johnson threw some salt over his shoulder.
So what's your... So, Mark, what's your take on what you saw in the theaters?
As I saw it in the theaters, I was like, just like anybody else that's a Star Wars fan, excited and new. We get to see Luke Skywalker, finally. Right. Somebody that we grew up in. I saw him as I was a five-year-old kid in the movie theater in 1977. Got to see him in New Hope. Follow his travels all through that time. Then we get the scroll at the beginning of The Force Awakens, and then he's gone. Okay. But yet we see him at the very end, and I'm thinking, oh, great, Last Jedi. Maybe it's about Luke. And then training Rey in some way. Right. No. But my attitude was like, okay, he's a bitter old soul. And I'm like, oh, man. And then what we got at the very end, which we'll go into later on, my feeling about it is if it was rewritten, it would have been written completely different. And you can't just throw away that. And I think Kathleen Kennedy was like a source person that was trying to create her own.
Oh, we'll get to that one, because
there are certain aspects within honestly, there are certain aspects within the movie that I do enjoy, that okay. I do love for how their creativity. A friend of mine actually covered this, and this is one of his favorite movies, and he podcasted on it. Well, whereas he doesn't like J.J. Abrams and hated The Force Awakens, but loved The Last Jedi.
It's funny you say that, because we have somebody at our job. So Zach and I started a new job, and we're now working together in a different company. But
yeah,
we come to find out that somebody there thought that Last Jedi was the best of the sequel.
A lot of people do. But I hear them out in their response to what they think about that this particular film. Did I hate it? I wouldn't say I hate it. I would say that I enjoyed it for what I got out of it, but
right.
There are certain things that I would change about it within it, but it doesn't really make me an Abrams fan. I like a lot of other Abrams work before this, before he got into Star Wars, more so than I do with Star Wars. So that's really my mediation between those people who love this particular movie and in comparison to the 1 and 3 aspect, I should say, of Force Awakens and to the last one. But you know, I do enjoy this film for certain aspects of it that keep in the Star Wars lore, but there are certain characters that shouldn't have done certain things and things of that nature. And that's about it.
Okay. And Frank, what's your take on this before we start diving into some deeper shit?
So, that first scene. Oh, man. So you're there and you're like, all right, we got Luke at the end of Force Awakens. All right, this is going to be cool. They made us wait. Entire like time stuff, and you're like, this is gonna be cool. Not just Luke Skywalker as a Jedi, but Grandmaster Luke Skywalker, you know what I mean? Where he's had his own school, he's taught others, you know,
right?
So maybe he's, you know, like the master standing at the front of the class, and Jedi just like, you know, like practicing their forms. That would have been freaking awesome. That's not what we got. What we got was them handing this iconic thing, his father's lightsaber, which he lost on Bespin, and all of a sudden now here it shows up, right? And he takes it, he looks at it, and it just flings it, okay? Like, it was a freaking doggy bag full of poop, and he's like, I don't need that. I don't need that. I got creatures with blue milk tits, or with milk tits over here. I got.
First of all, they're green, which is even worse.
Fine, they're green.
But argue the most tits are for milk.
Yeah, anything with breasts can have.
But
I was like, what? And that's like the first part of. When you start to realize, oh, this is going to be a completely different movie than what I wanted.
Right.
You know, and it just keeps going from there. Like, things just happening that you're sitting there going, huh? Okay. Because, you know, you have that forgiveness for certain things that happen. Like, we got the whole prequel series that completely changed the story. You know, Anakin's not this grown person who we had in our head that he's a pilot and he's a great warrior. No, he's this little freaking kid. And you're like, okay, look, I can forgive that. I can forgive that, right? Everything, midichlorians, okay, cool. It's all right. It's all right. It's a little bit more, but you know, it's been so long. I'll take it. Darth Maul saves it for you.
Okay. Right,
he at least saves the first movie. You're like, that battle at the end is it's worth everything else that you had to go through.
Right.
Okay. And they get better as they go along. You know what I mean? They're not fantastic, but the prequel.
Let's throw our lightsabers over our shoulders.
I'm not throwing this lightsaber over my freaking shoulder. I put a lot of work putting it together.
Well, this one's $100, so I'm not throwing it.
I didn't, so. It's like you screwed them together. It's all good.
If I throw anyway. This one, I'm going to break something.
Yeah, and your wife will kill you.
These movies just progressively get worse. It's like, oh, Last Jedi opens the fucking coffin and Rise of Skywalker just seals it closed and goes, here you go. There's your childhood. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, as you could tell, Frank is very passionate about this also.
Oh, my God.
So, oh, yeah. So here's, you know, as you could tell, I mean, I think as everybody out there could tell, we dislike this movie.
Dislike aspects. I have to say this exponentially for the fact that it was a good try. They could redo this in AI and make it 100%.
Probably so, but the thing is that, you know, it's now part of canon, which kind of sucks. But before we get into diving into the funeral that we're about to, you know, for this for this movie, and I just want to get things straight out there. We're not being haters to this movie.
No,
far
just,
from it.
We are justifying the fact. Well, we're trying to justify the fact is that this movie just did not work with what was already established. So I would say this. So believe it or not, this movie cost $300 million. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's with advertisement. This movie made $1.3 billion fucking dollars. All right. Now, the difference is, and I'm wondering where this money came from. And this is why I say that. While Rotten Tomatoes score was 91%, from critics, from the audience, it was only 42%, which tells you that fans and everybody else out there did not like this movie at all. You know, so you had almost 60% of the people out there that saw this, I'm sure, are saying we want our money back. That's about, I don't know, maybe what is it, like about almost $700 million that should be given back to everybody else. But that being said, look, this thing also won accolades. It so here's the thing that it won, which I'm surprised at some of them. Of course. It got nominated, I think, for some Oscars. Didn't win, of course. But, I didn't know that this was a thing. AARP Movies for Grown-Up Awards. Best Movie for Grown-Ups. BMI Film and TV Awards. Gave the award to John Williams, which, you know what? That's the one thing I will say about this movie, is that when it came to certain parts of the movie, John Williams really hit the nostalgic button on that. He was the only one. Empire Awards won it, gave it best film, best director, best actress, best visual effects, best costume design. And Golden Trailer Awards, which Mark and I were actually talking about that, about it'll be really cool to come up with an award for trailers. And all of a sudden I started looking it up and I was like, oh my God, there is one out there and it's been going on for like decades. I didn't
And
not
for know. Extras too.
And for extras. I did not know there was one for extras. That is fucking crazy. Yeah. So Golden Trailer Awards, Best Fantasy Adventure, poster or whatever. Saturn Awards, Best Actor, Mark Hamill, Best Screenplay, Ryan Johnson, Best Editing, Bob Duxay or something like that. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. And then, of course, Teen Choice Awards, Choice Fantasy Actress Carrie Fisher, right? So it won some awards. I mean, we've covered a lot of movies in this podcast that have not won no awards. They won Razzies, but no awards. I'm surprised this thing didn't win not a single didn't even nominate for a single Razzie, which is crazy. So I'm going to start with this. One, you had a director who decided, and this is what this is my thought. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of rumors, I think, out there, and not rumors, things that you read and, you know, and things like that. But Rian Johnson decided to make his own movie and decided to take Star Wars in a different direction. Right.
And I think I have repeated myself over and over again on this podcast. You fucking respect the IP. If you're given something, respect the IP, respect the fans. Don't just go and think, I'm going to do something better so I can make a name for myself. And fuck the fans. Fuck whatever came before that. I don't give a shit. Right? So that's how I feel that, you know, what happened. Because whatever J.J. Abrams did, Rian Johnson decided to destroy. You know, you get this big buildup of Snoke. And who Snoke is.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. You know, who Snoke is. And, you know, you're like, all right, so this is a new bad guy now. This is the guy that, you know.
This is a new big bad. He's got Kylo Ren under his heel. He's using him.
Right.
Yeah.
We were hoping to know, okay, so, you know, what's, you know, we were thinking that it was just going to be a climactic battle by the third, you know, episode of the sequel. No. They decide to fucking kill his ass off. Like, if he meant nothing. Again.
Yeah.
You take the lightsaber over your shoulders. That, to me, was a, what I would say, a slap in the face to.
Oh, yeah.
That, I think, is a metaphorical thing. I think that's Rian Johnson saying, fuck whatever came before that.
Fuck your couch.
I'm going to go do my. Yeah.
Fuck your couch.
So I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want because it's my movie and I could do whatever I want. I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is going to be my movie. Fuck whatever I want. So I feel like that was the big thing. It's like, forget what, you know, forget about how the Jedis are supposed to actually, you know, come about with their powers. Forget about, you know, the what came before that with the Empire. It was just, it was just like kind of like this
rewriting the whole story.
Now,
they literally got rid of the Jedi Scrolls, and even Luke acknowledges that, and with Yoda and his astral form. And on top of that, it's like, throw them away. Oh, and it's just like,
I don't know if you said it that way, but okay.
But in my opinion, that's my abbreviated way.
That's what I heard.
Was that Frank Oz? I think I just heard Frank Oz.
Oh, you do not see. You cannot do this. Oh, those were guidelines. Throw them out. Burn them.
Okay. Oh man, so yeah, so I just feel like a lot of the lore of what the Jedi are supposed to be, a lot of the lore of how the Empire came about, the people involved like Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, it seems like Disney and especially maybe Kathleen Kennedy, right? I'm putting a big question mark there. Wanted to get rid of anything that had to do with George Lucas's original stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right? And it really dawned on me because I went to visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge a couple of weeks ago. And as I walked around, first of all, I think it's a fantastic place, and it's just like, if you're a Star Wars fan, great.
Mm-hmm.
But as I walked around, I said, there is nothing of the prequels or the original trilogy in this thing.
It's like a backhanded slap to the original fans that grew up on this.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. They should show an homage. The only thing that we get, if you go to Galaxy's Edge, is the Millennium Falcon out there. We get maybe to like AT-ATs or something. No, I'm not sure. I never visited.
You get the Millennium Falcon. You get you see some land speeders. Of course, you see the new version of the X-Wing. You don't see the old version of the X-Wing.
Okay.
You see the new version of the TIE Fighter, not the old TIE Fighters.
Hmm.
And of course, when you go into some of the rides, which I was not impressed with what they call the Smuggler's Run.
Yes.
I was impressed with going into it, thinking that, hey, this looks like the Millennium Falcon. Woohoo, awesome. And I wish I was there alone to just soak it in and just kind of have a moment. But no, you got like, 300 other people in the goddamn place. just saying. But the other one, which I think is Rise of the Resistance, that one I was impressed with mostly because of the scale of it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I know I'm kind of deviating. But when I saw that, I said, wow, they really, really want to get, they really want
to have, replace
to have what people, we already have. Have people forget the other stuff and try to embrace the new Star Wars.
Correct.
And that's the problem here. And I think that's the biggest problem is that Rian Johnson thought, I'm going to make my own Star Wars because it's so popular, anybody's going to soak it up. And that's not the fucking case.
I struggle with that because I don't know if it's so much replacement in a way of malice. And I think there's going to be a theme here because we care about the essence of Star Wars more than 95% of the people that have watched this movie and that consume Star Wars content. Yeah. And so it comes down to branding, right? It comes down to capitalism, right? It's like if Pepsi releases a drink, it has a Pepsi logo on it. If Disney releases a Stormtrooper, it has a Disney logo on it by way of the First Order. And so it's like, is it cola? Well, yes, but it's not Coca-Cola. There's this brand identity thing. I really don't think that they're trying to destroy so much as they're literally like, this is the shit we made, buy into it. And it's this brand structure thing. And I think this is really like the whole new trilogy is almost a parallel universe of what Star Wars is. It's like, it's a structure. It's got the same characters, but it's like Earth 2. It's like Galaxy 2 of Star Wars, because it's just everything slightly off from the perception to someone in our seat. And I think that absolutely. With having so many different creative directions all in one pot, like you definitely have, in my opinion, like Rise of Skywalker was like the nail in the coffin, but it was also, in my opinion, like Rise of Skywalker was like the only thing we had left. Like, how could we have done anything that different at that point because of the fact that we went so many different directions with the other two movies?
Right.
It's almost like we had to make sense of it somehow. So it's like you write an essay half cocked and then you have to write a conclusion when you sober up, and it's like, well, and that's the story,
Right. I mean, I just feel that what happened with all that was, and I'm sorry I'm jumping back and forth on this. Here's what I think. I think J.J. Abrams, when he did The Force Awakens, he committed to one movie and said, fuck it, I'm going to start it off, right? And here's the plan, all right? And the plan is that, yes, Rey, the character of Rey, will find out by the second movie that she is a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi. A lot of people figured it out. And from what I've been hearing some things lately from people that have actually gotten fired or let go from Lucasfilm, who finally are talking and saying, the original idea was that J.J. Abrams wanted Rey to be the granddaughter.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Same here.
Right. Yeah. So that's one. Right. Then of course you had Han Solo, and I'm sure the only way that you got Harrison Ford to come back as Han Solo was to finally make him happy and says, "Look, we'll kill you. All right, I know that's what you want.
Part of it, yeah.
I know that's what you want. You want the guy to die. I have said it before because he doesn't like Han Solo. Although he did, in an interview he actually said, because they asked him, it's like, well, you've been quoted saying that you don't like this character and you wish he went away." And he goes, "Yes, but that's because I was stupid." And she goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Because I didn't realize how much of a impact this character is on people. And if I knew that, then I would have maybe approached it different." But I think killing Han Solo off the way they did it had some significance behind it, which was great.
A good idea.
Yeah, I think it was at least it drove the plot forward to, oh wow, he had to kill his own father in order for him to really submit himself to the dark side, mm-hmm. right? Then, you know, comes, you know, this other movie, and now he's like, well, you know, he's conflicted. And now he's, you know, jumping through, what I would call the Force cell phone company and reaching out to Rey, you know, half a galaxy away.
No, that was the Force emo company.
Yeah. So it's just, there was like a lot of things that he decided to take. And it's like you were saying, Zach, that maybe it wasn't malice about the way they decided to take this IP and decided to go in a new direction. But you can't forget what you had before.
It's not malice, but it's just it's careless.
It's ignorance and careless. Sure. Because at that point, what happens is you have a whole bunch of executives who think they know what Star Wars is. But they don't, right? I saw this one video where they were talking to the Star Wars story group, right? And I remember in the past when we were growing up and we were watching behind the scenes stuff of Star Wars, every time they had to have a meeting about, you know, something about Star Wars, it was George Lucas at the head of the table and maybe about two or three other people. There was a producer, I think, what's his name? Rick McCullen. Was there, and then it was Doug Chang, who was the head concept artist of Lucasfilm and all that stuff. Now he's the actual.
And then Phil Tippett, probably.
Oh no, he was gone by then.
Really?
But the whole thing was that it was just about three people, and everything was, hey George, what do you think about this? Hey George, you know, here's like 30 drawings of this one idea that you had, and you would see him just go, yep, nope, that one, maybe that one, boom, done. And that was it. Now, when you see the story group, it's fucking 20 people in a room trying to figure out one fucking thing.
Fucking marketing. It's a marketing team. It's a board.
That's literally what it is. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, 100%.
The next toy.
It is a team of people that are just like, well, you know, what should we do? We have about 50 writers that are, you know, doing stuff for us and what, you know, and they're all going to discuss all their stuff and we got to take everything into account. When in the past it was just, listen, George made this fucking world up and you're just going to fucking go with what he says. He's the one that makes it up. And then he fucking entrusted a person in Lucasfilm called, you know, Dave Filoni. To actually, you know, carry on his legacy. And what do? You don't consult him on these things?
Right.
That just seems, and not only that, but they go ahead and canceled Clone Wars. They go ahead and they go ahead and canceled everything that was
working and marketable for Star Wars.
Stuff that was in progress.
Yeah.
While it got sold, and then they went ahead and canceled a whole bunch of stuff because they're like, well, we're going to take it a whole new direction.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the problem I have is that you had a person like Rian Johnson that they let him, like Kathleen Kennedy was supposed to be there and say, hey, I'm going to be the Dave Filoni of this. So I'm going to be the Kevin Feige of this fucking thing. And I'm going to make sure that every director I get has to follow what George Lucas already set in motion. Mm-hmm. No, she went ahead and said, okay, you go do this. But since I don't know anything about Star Wars, yeah, Rian Johnson, go ahead. You go do your own story and don't worry if it doesn't match. You know,
she set her own agenda is what it was. And
I don't
honestly,
know, man. I just don't know what happened there.
I honestly think she set her own agenda. Now, mind you, you have to understand she worked for Lucasfilm for years and worked alongside with George Lucas. So she knew what George Lucas's focus was, knew what his story concepts and ideas were. Because she worked closely with him. My feeling is that this is her time to shine and get her voice or her thoughts of the world and how it should be and be presented. Now, this is my perception, not anybody else's. I know a lot of other people that feel the same way. But the thing is that that's why they went with Rian Johnson in this case, because she kind of sided with that. and it kind of gave Rey more of a focus for women, which I understand, but it could have been done better, but keeping the Lucas legacy in place. But the problem is that she wanted to obliterate the Lucas legacy and get rid of that and then start over. And then that's how we got what we have.
I don't know. But I feel like if she wanted to make a name for herself, if she would have respected, I think, the property, she could have made a big name for herself. Why? Because Dave Filoni, he respects the property. And guess what? He's a fucking superstar when it comes to fans. Fans look at him like, oh, fuck, there's the next George Lucas. Unfortunately, yes. They're just not giving him that power.
That is true.
There's the next George Lucas. So I feel that when it came to the plot lines, he just kind of took this significant risk with the story, making unexpected narrative choices that really, you know, made fans kind of go, ugh. you know, so I don't know. I'm so disappointed with this movie. And the reason, again, I'm disappointed is because you take something that was you take a
legacy,
a beautiful legacy that was built upon it. There's so many fans, and granted that we have shitted on the prequels a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Especially Phantom Menace. But God damn it, I'll see Phantom Menace like 10 times before I see another viewing of The Last Jedi, because while I sat there and I thought that there were certain little things that I liked, it wasn't enough for me to just sit through the whole thing and go, you know what? Because, okay, Phantom Menace, we all hated Anakin Skywalker, right? We definitely, well, I don't know if we hated him, but we just thought he was
annoying. Kind of annoying.
He was annoying. We hated Jar Jar.
For sure.
That was our Chewbacca comic relief. The thing is with Phantom Menace is what you're trying to say to everybody, Rob, is that honestly, Phantom Menace, when we got it in 99, it literally gave us the heart of Star Wars again. And that's what it gives in that storytelling. And I don't think we really got
it
that.
It did. But we what we did was we saw Star Wars and we look. It was such a long time before we saw any Star Wars that when Phantom Menace came around, a lot of us went to the theater maybe like 10 times to see it. I think as we got older and when the more we saw it, we noticed, you know, is Anakin Skywalker fucking annoying? Is Jar Jar Binks really? Yeah, more. You start analyzing more. But the first viewing is like, yo, that was awesome. And let me tell you, and towards the end, the battle with the duel with Darth Maul.
Duel of the Fates.
It stopped for a lot of the things that go, like you said, Fran, makes up for a lot of things that went wrong with the film. There was nothing. Like some people are like, "Oh my God, the Jedi, the duel with Kylo Ren and Rey and the Praetorian guards was the best thing I have ever seen." That shit was a fucking mess. First of all, go ahead.
Actually, I enjoyed it. I enjoy that scene.
I gotta. I'm gonna explode. Give me a second.
Go ahead, explode. Go, Zach. So this is your time to shine.
The Phantom Menace, you know, we covered obviously, and I gotta say that the complaints about Phantom Menace are straight out nitpicking compared to the what we're dissecting in this movie. The closest thing I can relate to this movie, to like a real world event that actually matters and isn't just creative content, is can you imagine a well-renowned farm, you know, in the suburbs outside of like a popular city, small family-owned business, revered by the community, gets uprooted by a large business, right? And that farm and all the content and the people that own that farm are now gone, and now it's you know, they're making corn for ethanol or something. Like that's the equivalent of what's happening with this, in that the Star Wars content has been caught in the crossfire of high level producers and directors vying for the ability to put their name on intellectual property for the sake of profit. And that's what the theme behind all of this is. And unfortunately, these characters that frankly don't matter, right? They're made up. are now caught in the crossfire of all these different decisions. And to us who really, really care about this shit, it's really painful because, you know, you have Luke Skywalker, who's this paragon of hope and this crazy awesome character and like the whole soul of the original trilogy, that, you know, you expect so much. You know, you have all these preconceived thoughts if you've read the Legends stuff or like the expanded universe stuff. And right. Even if you haven't, you know, you've watched the original trilogy and you know Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker, this Jedi Knight in all black with a green saber doing Jedi shit, you right. know, and he's building something amazing throughout this entire trilogy. And then you have what we got. And so it's I don't think there's anything wrong with Rey. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of the characters, but I do think that there's a lot wrong with the way that they use the characters, especially when it comes to Luke, in this trilogy and the way that right. they spun this. And, I really do stand by the whole, it's like a parallel universe of what these characters do. You know, there's a couple exceptions, right? There's cool things like Leia. I thought Leia was pretty good, like the scene where she gets blown out of the ship and she yanks herself back with the Force. Like, there, that's
you actually cool. like that? Because to me, it just seemed like a scene from Mary Poppins.
Well, so I mean, sure. I would say that the reason that I like it is because you don't get to see her do shit otherwise. And yeah. Leia as a Force user was like a big deal. It was like a big right. thing. It was alluded yes. to. And then we never really got to experience anything. So it's like, out of what I got in this movie, yeah, I liked it. You know, it's like, yes, there are some cool shit with the bombs and the space battles and all the shit you'd expect out of a movie with this budget, with the ships and the effects and all the things you'd want. But, like the whole Ben Solo thing. Not every fucking dark side user needs to have a redemption arc.
Right.
The fact that Vader returned and brought balance to the Force within himself was a huge part of his plot and his arc. You don't have to do that every time. You know, we killed Han Solo and now we've got a guy who's just fucking crying on scene, like, that can't get a grip. And it's like, You don't have to make that the thing. Like, we're all dark side. Like, oh, you know, he's evil, but just kidding. You know, he'll turn it around. I hate that. I legitimately hate that. Yeah. I think that it's stupid and it drives me nuts. I turn like Rey as a character. I think Rey is a cool character. And I think that unfortunately, Daisy Ridley and Rey got yeah. swept up in this trilogy in a way that, like, frankly sold that character short, if anything, because I think
they could have done her justice and did it better, that character.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the whole thing. I mean, because I was going to ask you guys that, what do you guys think of the sequel characters truly think when it comes to them carrying that big legacy? I mean, you have Rey, who mm-hmm. initially supposed to be just, you know, this orphan girl in, I forgot what the planet his name is. Is it Jakku?
Garbage World.
Jakku or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's Jakku. Yeah.
Right, so yeah. Jakku, and she is waiting for her parents, whatever. Then you have Finn.
John Boyega. Yep.
Who is supposed to be the defecting
stormtrooper
that actually, you know, makes a big difference because of that. Of course, you have Chewbacca that, you know, comes in and continues to be the sidekick of these people. And then, of course, the new Han Solo,
Poe
Dameron.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's how I feel. That, like, that's your main group right there. And then, of course, the droids or whatever. But how do you guys feel about those? Do you think those characters were enough?
I think they would have been enough, honestly, to continue a saga just unto themselves, and they didn't really need the nostalgic portion of the old crew. They could bring in the nostalgic portion of the old crew for certain scenes. They didn't have to dispatch or dismiss them in any way, but the thing is, it should have been more focused on that particular core group, because this is a new Star Wars. Honestly, yeah, they have to pay tribute to the original, but it could be a whole new story and doesn't have to have an emo Kylo Ren who's pining after his grandfather for that way he could go to the dark side, come back to the light side. It could be something that is more of that they've done in the video games with the Jedi Order, and I'm sure Zach will agree. 100%. And they could have walked into those books and those novels and made this 100 times better than what it was, but they decided to fall on the same typical it's not broken, let's use the same storyline yet again.
Right.
But okay, and by the second movie it's like, all right, everything broke down, we can't get what we want, so we're gonna kill off this person, we're gonna do this to this other person, and then we're gonna continue with this arc, which is kind of repetitive.
It's a botched surgery. It's
yeah.
It's just so much. There's this new trilogy should have taken place 15 years earlier, and this should have been a real continuation of what was going on with the three with the main characters. Right. And then there's nothing wrong with the new characters. You know, I don't really dislike them. I dislike how they were used more than I dislike the characters.
Right.
Like
I think
that it was a cool setup, but frankly, like, we should have started this arc with these new guys. I think that the whole Jakku thing should have been the first 30 minutes of the first movie that Daisy Ridley's Rey appeared.
And she having a twin brother, possibly.
Sure, whatever. But I
throw that in there too.
We'll get to the fantasy casting in a moment, but not. Yeah. Hold on. So, Frank, any of your, you know, any thoughts on that?
I agree that I feel like these characters are just handled incorrectly. You know what I mean? I think the whole thing, the whole plan of it, you started off with J.J. Abrams coming out and saying, okay, let's do this nostalgic movie. Let's start over again. Tell a slightly different story from New Hope and let everybody enjoy that. And from there, we'll take it in another direction. What we ended up getting, you know, is she gets with Luke Skywalker. We're like, okay, he's going to train her to be a better Jedi. He could have actually gone ahead and like had like her and John Boyega there getting trained. You know, when you hand him a lightsaber later in the movie, then it makes sense.
Right.
But that's not what we ended up with. We ended up with her basically having so much potential that she just goes ahead and she learns everything all by herself, basically. And storylines that go nowhere. Knights of Ren, who? Captain Phasma, these interesting characters that you created that go nowhere.
And that's, again,
forgot about her.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's the problem with this movie is the fact that J.J. Abrams throws in the Knights of Ren, which when we saw the Knights of Ren, we're like, holy shit. Here's a group of dark side fucking people.
Yeah, I was all in.
I was just like thinking, we're going to see.
That's the idea.
We were hoping to see Darth Maul 2.0 in five people at the same time. Right?
That's, you know,
at
least what we're getting now.
That's what
we're getting, the Inquisitors now.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's a whole other podcast. But because, yeah. And like you were saying, Captain Phasma. Captain Phasma was basically treated like Boba Fett. Yeah. Where Boba Fett was like this cool character that you saw in Empire, and you're like, yo, that's a bad motherfucker. And then, I mean, the way he carried himself, you're like, yo, this guy is not the guy that you want to mess with. And then what do? In Return of the Jedi, they give him a bitch death. In this one, Captain Phasma, I mean, if you look at the marketing, if you look at the merchandise, it was so huge. And what did Ryan Johnson do? Gave her a shitty fucking death. And that was it. It was like, we're going to get rid of this character. It's like it was like he said, I don't like this character. I'm killing your character off. And I'm like, but why, man? I mean, you could have done so much with that character, too. They didn't do
that. She's a great actress. She could have.
She's a fucking great. She's a great actress. Yeah. I mean, and the fact that they just show her eyeball and that was it. Yeah. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Freaking Samuel L. Jackson actually said that if he could be in Star Wars, he would gladly be a tree in right. Star Wars, you know, because that's how much he wanted to be in it. Yeah, no, there were good characters, I think, that were kind of thrown to the side. Good ideas that were thrown to the side. They didn't even touch upon the fact that when Rey sensed Luke Skywalker's lightsaber in what's the big no yeah in Force Awakens, the bar that she that Mos Kanata owns, I forgot what it is, but that she goes to the dungeon and she opens the thing and all of a sudden she gets a flashback of that's right. where we see, you know, the Knights of Ren, but finds out that hey, this is Luke Skywalker's freaking lightsaber, which he lost with a hand in Cloud City. How the fuck did she ever get her hands on this? They never went into that plot line. They had to actually continue that in an actual comic book, which I was like, you know what? If they would have put that in the comic book, that would have been from the comic book in the movie, that would have been great. But instead, that was kind of a plot line that was just like, you know what? We're not even going to touch upon this anymore. Screw it. Because what did, you know, Luke Skywalker do? Take that lightsaber again, threw it over, you know, his shoulder. You would think Luke would go, how the fuck did you get your hands on this?
Right.
I exactly. lost this in a shaft.
And where's no. the hand that went with it?
Yeah, you didn't find a hand with this, did you?
He does that to a lot of fans too, by the way.
You know, so those are the little things that I feel like this movie, it just so disconnected from The Force Awakens, but also disconnected from a lot of what came before that, you know? So, I mean, that's just me. I mean, on this, I mean, and of course the one thing that I got, you know, to me, one of the funniest thing is you got a shitload of bombers that are going after this one big, you know, Star Destroyer, whatever it is. And they're going 2 miles an hour in every movie from Star Wars. There is, I mean, because George Lucas loved the theme of speed, right? So you saw it in Indiana Jones, you saw it in American Graffiti, you saw it in Star Wars. When it came to the ships, he would have them seem like they were going fucking 900 miles an hour.
It's George's love of drag racing that really preceded all that.
And yeah, that's really that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So all of a sudden, what do you see here? You see all these bombers going super slow, which I'm like, what is going on?
It's supposed
here?
To be like a Mack truck, and then you got a sports car like that Zach would drive and just like do donuts and then just pass it. And so, that would be super speed, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just, again, these are the little things when they were kind of lobbing laser shots to the other ships that were actually curving in space. Like, these are things that just, like, you never see that in any other... Look, if George Lucas actually had a laser bolt actually curve in space, I would say, okay, you know what? George did it. Sure, go ahead and do it. But no, it was like, oh, let me, like, throw these things at you. And it was like he was throwing laser bolts. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way, guys. And
Both then photon cannons do in the original trilogy.
Yeah, the ion cannons
in the middle, right. In the vacuum of space that we're actually curving.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to see it again, man. And if I
you gotta
if
watch it,
if you're right, I'll stand corrected. But
well, that's how the Death Star got blown up.
Well, that's what the Matrix stole from it.
The Death Star, those things actually. whatever. Okay, look,
goes into the.
Yes, we all know that the science in Star Wars has never been the best.
I got bigger fish to fry than this.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just like all the little, you know, and I could nitpick the shit out of this entire movie of just the little things. But it's just those choices that Rian Johnson made with this movie. It's not like a little nitpick here and a little nitpick there. It's just all those choices.
Yeah.
Kind of became a lot of things. It became a big deal because you're not going, oh, the movie was great, except they had these two little scenes there that I just didn't make sense. No, it's just from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And you're like, why is he taking this direction?
The storyboard fell on the floor. They picked it back up and stapled it in a random order. And then they said, fucking send it.
Yeah. You know, Canto Bite. they go to a planet where they have this beautiful, you know, a casino that's supposed to be like, I would guess,
Vegas.
No, I think it's more like Morocco or something like that, or something like that, or it's like in the French Rivieras and things like that, where it's supposed to be a lot more upscale.
Barcelona.
And and what they do is they're supposed to meet this one guy that's a code breaker.
Yeah.
Never fucking happened. One, they take Benicio del Toro, a phenomenal, phenomenal actor.
Amazing.
They give him a lisp and they basically don't use him the right way. But originally, from what I heard, was that Canto Bight was supposed to have Lando Calrissian.
That would have been amazing, but
that would have been fucking great.
Yeah, nah, we didn't want that. That's fine.
It would have been a nod to the old, you know, history of Star Wars.
He's a smuggler. He's a gambler, and all these things that would have.
That character, I'm good.
So these are the things I'm talking about. Like, you know, I just felt this movie was so disjointed from the actual trilogy. The characters, you say that, you know, you didn't have a problem with. I had a problem with the characters, maybe because of the way they were written and the direction that they were taking. But not only that, I feel that the characters were so dead center that if this is supposed to be the continuation of the Skywalker saga, they should have had more Skywalkers in it. And instead, you know, if you tell me that, you know, Rey was a Skywalker that was just, you know, missing in action somewhere or whatever it is, or came out of nowhere, sure, then it's a continuation of the Skywalker saga. But this actually is not. So, and that's, you know, the reason we call this Fantasy Picks Movie Edition is because now we're going to fucking make this movie better. So that's what we fucking do here. That's how we do it. Because do you think you're better than Rian Johnson? You're goddamn right. So I'm going to play fucking armchair executive today. I'm going to be Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, God.
All right.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Rob.
Frank is looking at me like, oh, God, here we go.
I'm sitting here and I'm going, you bitch.
So I'm gonna be Kathleen Kennedy, and if Rian Johnson comes to me and says, hey, I'm gonna do this, I'm like, you're fired.
No.
Boom. Zach is gonna be now Dave Filoni. I said, Dave Filoni, what do you got for me that you could continue the story of Force Awakens?
Well, you see, how about the Ewoks fight the Gungans? No. All right. So Force Awakens, right? So Force Awakens, we take obviously this great period of all the you know, they're only being, we go from having 10,000 Jedi in the galaxy in this huge Jedi order and this political thing, right? Mm-hmm. And through the course of the primary, you know, the original trilogy, obviously Luke gets through and we defeat the Empire, right? Giving us the ability to restore religious freedom, you know, prosperity outside of the dictatorship and the rule of this, and then we establish the New Republic. So by the Force Awakening, maybe, just maybe, we could go through the training of people like Ben Solo, going through different you know, trials and tribulations with them as a Padawan. You know, we have all these different stories. If I was going to keep that title the same, I mean, literally the product would be something totally different, because the Force didn't awaken at all. The Force, in fact, I don't really get the title because it doesn't.
The Force has always been there.
it doesn't make any sense. I've awakened. I awoke this morning. That would have been a better title than The Force Awakens, because, you know, I got out of bed. Congratulations. There's a million different things. I seriously could talk for the next 10 hours on different ideas of what the movies could have been.
Well, that's what this podcast is about, man, is to put those ideas out there, because it's better than whatever came out.
Seriously, so one of you guys said something about the video games, and I go back to, like, Jedi Academy.
Mark.
Yeah,
Jedi Academy, like, that literally is what I'm talking about. It's Luke Skywalker training people, and you get to play as one of these characters. And, like, you could have made a movie based off something like that. You could have Ben Solo. You could have all these different characters come coming about. And if in 30 years in cinema time, you want to revisit this and do what we did in the sequel trilogy, okay, but maybe now we have a little bit more context and flesh it out, and now we can take a different direction with it on characters we actually care about and understand. You know, right. It's like, oh shit, Ben Solo. Like, yeah, I want to learn about fucking Ben Solo, but like, not like this. You know, there's nothing likable about this. You know, I would have preferred to see Darth fucking Jar Jar rather than fucking Ben Solo as Kylo Ren, because it's like, at least I give a fuck about Jar Jar at this point. He's Representative Binks. Like, fuck yeah, man. Like,
I don't okay. Know.
I'm gonna shut up now.
That's your pitch to me to make a movie is because you still haven't come up with a good you know story or anything. So I'll get back to you. You director Rodriguez, what would be your pitch to me, the new executive of fucking Lucasfilm?
Wait, so are we going from?
You're going from Force Awakens. Let's say you're forced to do Force Awakens. You know, Force Awakens came out. You got no other choice.
Okay, so I'm making the next.
Correct.
Last Jedi.
You are replacing the last Jedi.
Well, I mean, obviously, you start off with Luke Skywalker doesn't just go ahead and throw his fucking lightsaber away. Right? That's like the first thing. Why would you bother? It's gone through so much. It's so iconic. You've hidden his hands. At least have him, you know, like look at it and be like, wow, this is really cool. And instead of throwing it over his shoulder, he could have just been like, you know what? I'm going to put this in a box. I'm going to keep it there. What would you like to learn? You know what I mean? Like, just like start teaching her things. And she's like, you can't touch that yet. You haven't earned the right to touch this lightsaber yet. I'm going to train you up. I'm going to teach you how to do these things. And then at some point, you'll earn the right to hold this lightsaber.
So besides that, do you have like an idea for the overall story? So basically give me a pitch on how you would have continued The Force Awakens and leave it off that it could have been then continued from that point on, and forget about Rise of Skywalker. Let's make believe that shit hasn't still been done at all.
I'd go ahead, I'd say, let's make the freaking 36 chambers with Rey being the monk, okay? She has to learn all of those things to become this badass Jedi, you know what I mean?
Like, wait, Frank, you're saying Rey is the RZA? Who's Method Man? Is that Joe Boyega?
Not that John 36 Boyega. Chambers.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's
talking about Gordon Liu.
He's style. Talking about the old Kung Fu, like 36 chambers of Kung Fu. Or
I'm
like
talking that. About Wu-Tang Clan, motherfucker.
36 chambers is the name of the movie.
Where do you think Wu-Tang got it from?
Exactly right. That's where they got it from. But I'm saying, like, that would be a better, like, storyline. Like, she has to earn the right to become that Jedi. Not where she ends up. In the second movie, we're like, oh, she just knew these things. She knew these things because she learned them already, right? But she just forgot that she learned them. You know what I mean? So all this time,
so she's none of maybe Yoda or Grogu at this point.
Well, even that's still makes sense because he ages so slowly. He's 50 years old. He's gone through this whole thing. We don't know how far his training went before.
So is Rey going to be the same way in a sense? Because she in this case, is she a descendant of Obi-Wan?
I would say yes. She'd have to be a descendant of somebody.
Okay. All right. Good.
You know, she could have been the descendant of Mace Windu for all we knew. I mean, come on.
Nah,
hey, man. Mace Windu got busy. So, Mark, but wait a minute. Let me go back to Frank. Frank, so that's good. That can't be the only thing in the movie.
No, it can't be the only thing in the movie, because what we'd have to do is, while she's learning how to be a Jedi, you have the other characters who are doing their own thing. Like, they could have been exploring, like, wait a minute, man, didn't we beat the freaking Empire? How did they come back into power? and like explore as to like what exactly helped them to get back into power. And that could have been something along the lines of like the heir of the Force, where some Force user helped them to go ahead and get their troops in order, you know, and have that kind of storyline. We could have even had Admiral Thrawn show up in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, behind the scenes, he's got Snoke in the front, but in the background, it's actually Admiral Thrawn running everything. You know, kind of like Ronald Reagan, you know, when he did that skit. He's like, Ronald Reagan's acting stupid in front of everybody, but yet, as soon as everybody's out of the room, he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a deal with China. You know, like, he's just breaking it down for everybody. And then as soon as somebody walks, he's like,
So in case anybody's out there wondering, there's an old skit. I forgot who it was.
Don't make me have to kill you.
Yeah, that it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Ronald Reagan and then Jimmy Stewart.
Yes,
comes into the White House to visit Ronald Reagan, and you know they're Ronald Reagan's being his old, you know, I guess, you know, charming
self.
But what they don't realize is that behind the scenes, when the cameras are not on, Ronald Reagan is like a hardcore motherfucker that just, you know, doesn't take shit. And at one point, Jimmy Stewart is like, what's going on? You changed. And Ronald Reagan goes, Jimmy, don't make me have to kill you. Okay. And it was just, it's who the hell did that spot?
It's Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman.
Yeah. It was Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman was Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Saturday Night Live skit, right, or something like that.
It's one of the funniest lines when you watch it and do it. It's like one of the funniest lines you've ever seen, just because the way that he delivers the line.
Oh,
like,
it was awesomely executed.
Don't make me have to kill you.
So okay, so how about you, Mark? What would you? What pitch would you give me to try to, you know, continue The Force Awakens?
Well, to start The Force Awakens after The Force Awakens, then going into The Last Jedi. It doesn't necessarily have to be called The Last Jedi at that point.
No, not either.
My feeling would be after The Force Awakens, they've kind of did what they did in A New Hope, so they kind of obliterated that. My feeling is Finn is upgraded and upscaled and working with Poe and going after all the remnants and destroying everything of what was the less existent empire and their influence upon the worlds. Rey is training with not only with Leia, but Luke. And they're trying to find her history. And they find that she is a descendant of Obi-Wan. And I would love that, for the fact that it continues and would lead to what would be considered The Last Jedi. But I think they could still utilize the Snoke attitude. But my attitude would be that during that fight, at the very end, we see the death of both Leia and Luke, for the fact that, you know, they give it up to support Rey at that point to continue on the legacy. And then she adopts that whole Last Jedi legacy, right, learns and then teaches. And then we go on to the next film. So that way it's like, okay, there is a new hope. Oh, not to, you know, drop the mic and put a pun on it. But the fact is that it will be a new legacy, and it moves on to the third one, which could create a whole new trilogy after that, after we end the third one, which would reveal a different evil that she has to overcome.
Right.
But okay, that would be my thought. But the thing is that you're trying to rewrite something in a sense of fan casting.
That's exactly what we're doing.
And that's my idea would be to let's get rid of the old guard by the second, and then have something new for the third event of this trilogy. And then it could continue on to its own saga for tutorial purposes, where Rey becomes the Obi-Wan to new Jedi at that point.
Okay. And yeah. Zach, do you want to go back to yours, or is yours going to be more of what you just told me? Have, you know, Jar Jar Binks rule the galaxy.
Well, listen, so I'm thinking, so instead of Jar Jar Binks, we actually have C-3PO. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, he's got a red arm, so he's kind of dark.
I think that ultimately the focus, so after Force Awakens, I think that I would have loved to have seen more about the New Republic, you know, and it's almost like I really struggle with this because we sit there and make fun of it in the prequel trilogy, but yeah, the politics actually fills in a lot of gaps in such an action-packed universe. So like what was cool is you'd have action and then okay, you'd have your politics break. It's almost like, you know, it's a cutscene, you know, it's like a cutscene where you have something get explained to you. And so like we in Force Awakens, you watch like 9 planets just fucking blow up. It's like whatever was going on, don't worry about it. We're just blowing everything up. Nothing matters anymore. And it's like by the time you get to Last Jedi, there's no context. It's just okay, here you are. You're fighting the bad guys. But like I would love some more why. You know, what is the why? What are we doing? You know, obviously there is bad guy, there is Kylo Ren, there is Snoke, there is this. But like why and how? And like the why and how is almost like not explained at all. Like, you know, and we had like a whole thing with Rogue One explaining the Death Star, right? We had several pieces of lore leading up to what the Death Star was, and then all of a sudden we have this super weapon that's more powerful than a Death Star by a magnitude of 9 or 10 that just fucking whips up out of like some bullshit fucking Empire remnants. It's like I have such a hard time with continuing, because honestly what needs to happen is there needs to be almost like Force Awakens was episode 7, but it was really episode 8. And so there needs to be a prologue to episode 8, and that's episode 7. So really like Force Awakens should be the middle one. And then you need like, cause I'm fucking lost. Right. And of course, you know, you have, we know why it's there, and we've talked about it already, which is that it was a safe play on a New Hope template. But I'm sorry. And to answer your question, no, I don't have any good ideas. it's just like,
okay. I get director Zach, who comes into my office and says, I got a pitch for you, gives me all of that in the end. I'm like, so you don't have anything for me, but yet you came here.
That's correct. I came here and I'm gonna leave.
Great. Fucking put on my big boy pants
with a grenade.
Noted.
Pull a pin on a grenade and drop it on your desk,
or a nifty thermal detonator.
Yeah.
There you go. So, all right. As executive, as a new executive of a Lucasfilm, this is what we're going to do, I think. I think what we're going to do is we are going to start with the, you know, the way it did in The Last Jedi, which is Rey ends up in whatever planet, you know, Luke is on. I think what they should have done, I think what we should do is, when she visits Luke, one, he's wondering where the lightsaber came from and how did she get it? But two, she discovers that Luke went into hiding. Why? Because he's been training a shitload of new Jedis in the oldest temple known to, you know, the Jedis, which is where the Jedis first came. So all of a sudden she discovers, wait a minute, so the Jedi are alive, and it's correct. Not only that, but who's helping him? Well, fan service, because this is all about fan service. I would introduce Mara Jade.
Yeah, of course.
In the second part of the sequel, as either his wife or, just a top instructor or something like that. Somebody just to introduce that character, put it there, and just show that we've been training Jedi secretly now because the first time I had Ben, you know, Ben Solo and shit go emo on me and, you know, and take and destroy it. At the same time, because we got a vision of the, how you call it, of the Knights of Ren, you also see now Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren are now gearing up and they're just tearing shit apart throughout the galaxy. Boom, done. This is now where the Resistance is trying their best to, one, save those planets that are, you know, are trying to actually, you know, that are being raided by, you know, the Knights of Ren, because they're trying to wonder why is it that they seem like they're looking for something. And I think that's what it is. They should have said, okay, Kylo and the Knights of Ren are looking for something. They could be looking for Luke. They could be looking for the same place where Luke is at, because maybe there's some kind of artifact there to make them, you know, I don't know, fucking even bigger Jedis or more Sith, or, you know, get a bigger Sith dick. I don't care. The point is that if you can have show that, hey, the Jedi are not dead, and that Kylo Ren now has a group of Dark Force users, that can be a really cool thing to go into a third movie where now you're going to have this conflict. Now you're going to see the exact same thing that happened in the prequels, which is you're going to see a shitload of Jedis with lightsabers and all that stuff going against each other. So I think that should have been something like that. And then you can also have Leia in her part now after, you know, they destroyed all these different worlds, how she is trying to rally other worlds to make sure that the First Order does not go fully Empire like they did. Because when you actually look at the Empire and the story of the Empire, what was it, for 20 years the Empire ruled with an iron fist? This one is just what the first, what is it, the First Order was around for maybe a few years gaining power.
Yeah,
so they just got to make sure that they're not gaining that power. And I don't know who was it. I think you, was it you, Frank, or somebody? And then I will introduce Admiral Thrawn as, hey, we, what is it? Snoke will be like, listen, Kylo Ren is doing his thing. General Hux, you're just a piece of shit and you really don't know what you're doing. I'm going to bring in somebody that it was a legend and he's still around.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I know that would have thrown the Dave Filoni thing off with the way he did, Rebels.
Not necessarily.
But they're trying to do it now.
They're trying to do it now, Ahsoka. Right? But if you know what? Me being the executive, I would have told Dave Filoni, I said, Dave, what you're going to do is you're going to constantly, yeah, you're doing all that stuff. Sure. But this is way after the, what happens, and that means that Admiral Thrawn, if you're going to use him, he's going to have to remain alive for this shit.
Yeah.
Or you do a continuation. So now you have Admiral Thrawn, you have Mara Jade, so now you're actually putting fan casting into it. Now you have the Knights of Ren, where now you're showing how vicious they are, because you just saw a vision of them in the first one. Now you're going to see them in action, real action. We're talking about fucking Darth Maul level action shit. And then you're going to see Luke training new Jedis, and these Jedis are just badass motherfuckers, but Luke knows what happened to the Jedi. What happened to the Jedi? The Jedi was a failure towards the end of their reign or whatever it was. Dave Filoni says it. Dave Filoni says, hey, the Jedi just were failing at what they're doing. They became so dogmatic. They became so, you know, so full of themselves that they didn't realize that they were fucking up. So this is where you see Luke saying, hey, we are not being that dogmatic. Now we're probably doing a little bit more of what we would say, things outside the box of what the Jedis would do in order for us to fight whatever new evil is coming around.
It's all checks and balances.
Yeah. So, and then what you could do is towards the very end, you could have it where either Kylo Ren somehow kidnaps Leia, right? And now, of course, Luke is like, I got to go get my sister because this, my fucking nephew who's an idiot, is now keeping her hostage. And Kylo Ren is probably going, you know what? Yeah, come and get her. And then you could actually end the fucking movie with all of a sudden showing that, hey, Kylo Ren has this fucking army with the, you know, with the Knights of Ren. And this is what Luke has to face going there. Or something like that. And then you could also show that, hey, the galaxy is probably going to be like, they have to make a choice. You're either going to be with fucking, you know, with the Resistance and the Jedis, or you're going to be with, you know, the First Order. And if you want to put a little of the politics in there, you could also say, hey, the galaxy is also wondering, sure, the Jedis are coming back, but how do we know that the same shit is not going to happen before? And that's kind of like their, what I would say, their hesitance to help also. So you can have something, like that. And honestly, if you get somebody to write something like that and actually put it cohesive enough, that would have been a better story going into a third movie, which now you have this climactic movie that's going to be now the end game, the Avengers end game of Star Wars. That's my fucking take. All right. So I want you, all of you guys, to go get the fucking right people and go make it happen. God damn it. Now.
Yeah.
Would we recast the new people?
I don't see a point in doing that.
Me neither. I would keep the people that they have. I'm thinking
you think Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and we're fine in those parts?
Yeah, yeah, Oscar Isaacs was perfect, and so is everybody else. I think it's a lot of story and how they could actually recreate it into a better format with those same characters. I don't think it needs to be retooled as far as within character, like I'm not saying characters, but in actors. I think they're all very good at what they do.
All right, so Daisy Ridley and
better script.
Yeah, all
better
right.
Script, better story.
Yeah.
They could have done a really good job.
All right. Yeah, well, you could tell Daisy Ridley and John Boyega's agents they still have a job. So, question for you guys.
Hmm?
What part of this makes a good home theater demo?
What action sequence probably would make a good demo? I would say, honestly, I know you're against it. It's the fight with Kylo Ren and Rey against the Red guys.
Well, I don't like, here's the reason I don't like that scene is, again, you have Rey, the Praetorian guards are supposed to be the biggest badasses of the entire
Correct.
First Order, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are supposed to be the elite of the elite who know how to fight force sensitive people with a lightsaber, because you could see that they actually blocked who was it? Somebody's lightsaber they blocked with their own armor,
yeah,
right, with their hands. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, so you have Rey, who has never been that type of level fighter, all of a sudden become a fighter and fucking take a few of them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that was my biggest problem. And again, man, then the other part is also the fact that the Praetorian guards look like cabana boys with ruffled sleeves. When I saw them, I swear to God, I thought I was looking at some fucking, you know, Ricky Ricardo shit from I Love Lucy, where you have all the singers in the Tropicana and shit with the big ruffled fucking. When I saw that, I went, no, please tell me that's not the design. And not only that, but instead of it looking like an armor, it looked like it was all 3D printed plastic. So. Mm. I would change the armor on that. But that being said, yes, I think that in terms of sound design, I think that was actually pretty good. The battle, which I think is super slow and stupid, still had great sound design in that.
Mm.
And the battle at the end with the gigantic, I got it for you. You know, which was a really good scene that all of a sudden John Williams kicked in with an old thing.
Oh, the salt
thing that's
when it
on?
Went right through the crystal caves, and all of a sudden the soundtrack for the asteroid field came in, and I was like, okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
okay. That is
the crystal scene, the fighters flying through the crystal cave was what my choice was.
Yes. Okay. I think that's a great home theater demo there. Do you think ChatGPT can come up with something better than this movie in 5 minutes?
With the input we just gave it, yeah.
So here's what I did. I actually said, come up with something better. That's all I said. Come up with something better than The Last Jedi. It gave me two treatments. One of them was actually slightly better.
Okay.
The other one went in a really crazy direction. Mm-hmm. But one of them was actually slightly better, which I was like, you know what? I'd rather see that than what Ryan Johnson gave me.
Tell us.
All righty. So any last words on this thing? I mean, listen, I mean, again, I just want to say we're not trying to be haters. It's just the fact that everybody in this podcast are huge Star Wars fans. We're talking about we live and breathe this shit. And so this is why we came down hard on this movie, is because this movie took what we loved and threw it in a direction. And while a lot of people out there are saying, oh, well, you know, at least it was a new direction to try to see it. You know what? Do that shit with your own movie. Do that shit in a side movie or what is it? Or a Disney Plus movie.
Yeah.
Not as a major thing.
Not a major theatrical representation for Star Wars.
Yeah, not a major release, especially when you're trying to follow up six movies that are basically the standard of what this, you know, world is. So that's the reason. Huh?
I'm just disappointed.
It's very disappointing. It's very. Yeah. I'm mad because I felt like, I'm disappointed at the director for being that bold and being that arrogant to think that he could do his own thing. I'm even more angry at the leadership of Disney and Lucasfilm for letting it happen.
Yeah.
That's something that me being the executive, I would say, hey, Ryan, you know what? Cool. But this is what I'm trying to do. And this is the reason you have to respect this. So I am going to bring this guy called Dave Filoni into this. He is basically the George Lucas that is no longer with the company.
Mm-hmm.
He's the person you have to listen to. And if he gives me lip and say, well, you know, I can't work under these conditions. And I was like, dude, then you see that door? Don't let the fucking knob hit you on the way out. Because I have a ton of other directors that would love to get their hands on a Star Wars property. And I'm sure that they would, you know, say, you know what? I'll respect what you want. I respect what you have. I'll go the direction you want. Boom. Done. All right. And that's it. That's how I would have done it. But they didn't do that. And I think that's why I was upset about it. And that's why it upsets me even till this day, because I'm seeing, we all seen all the Disney Plus shows where some of them are just dog shit while others are just okay. The Mandalorian is great. Andor turned out to be fucking
Andor
great.
Was actually pretty good.
Andor turned out to be absolutely awesome.
The Book of Boba Fett was like a little bit more fan.
Book of Boba Fett sucked because they took my favorite character of all time and made him into a chump that walked down the street waving at people with a smile.
Became a mobster.
Mobs, people will be scared of mobsters. I'm done with this shit already. So it's, you know, again, I just wanted this movie to be great and it just was disappointing, but we all try to make it, at least we gave our opinion on it and we gave our take on what would actually be a better take. And I think if anybody out there, if you have your own ideas, let us know. If you think you could do a better job than what Ryan Johnson did, sure, let us know. But if you also think that this movie was so great, also let me know. Maybe you might bring, whoever's out there, you might bring a certain perspective that I don't know about. And you might try to convince me to, instead of hating it, for me not just to dislike it. All right. So bring it down, you know, bring it a few levels down.
So, guys, where can we find any of you? Mark, where are you at this week?
This week? Oh, wow. Obviously, you can find me on Panels to Pixels podcast on the Pyrocore Entertainment Network. You can hear me on Adrenaline Cinema podcast as well.
Awesome. And you, Frank?
Oh, you know, I appear wherever you guys want me. No, I'm kidding.
Hill podcast for change, everybody.
I podcast for clicks.
There you go. All right. And you, Zach, I mean, I know that you don't do any podcasts or anything like that, but is there anything that, you know,
audiences, you want to plug?
You want to plug or anything?
If,
or?
You, if you turn the lights off and say my name three times in a room, you may just find me. No,
Zach Book. Oh, he didn't show. Damn it!
I'm going to close myself out of this with let the past die, kill it if you have to. Like this movie killed my hopes and dreams for these characters. Have respect.
So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or whichever podcast app of your choice. You can also email us at fantasypicsmovieedition@gmail.com. And we also do have a Facebook page, so you can also find us there. And we also started a Facebook group called Movies That Failed at the Box Office or with Critics. Usually there I'll announce the podcast. I'll also put up polls for some of our top five movie drafts and things like that. And for anybody that wants to discuss or let us know what you think about the show, just let us know, man. We would love to hear from you. Listen, if you hate the show, let me know. All right. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what you're doing wrong.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option.
It's always an option.
Zach is going to bombard the freaking Facebook group. So that's pretty much it. So we are part of the Pyrocore Entertainment Network, where you can find other podcasts such as Panels Pixels and Adrenaline Cinemas. That being said, this is our podcast. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to listen to us ramble. And hopefully you'll catch us next time. I'm your host, Robert Moda, and we're all signing off.